Hello, this is Pastor Galen from Chicago First Church, and welcome to our podcast. Before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're listening from, we're glad that you're here. We hope that the message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. If you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast could be your first step to joining us at C1 in person sometime, or in our online community that meets every Sunday at c1naz.org/live. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message, and more importantly, we pray that you would experience God and that you're encouraged today. Well, good morning. Welcome to Chicago First Church. Can we try that again? Good morning. I feel like you guys are sleeping. That's not a good sign. I'm just getting started. This is going to be, we're going to have some extra fun in the service to wake up a little bit. Hey, thank you so much for being here at Chicago First. Whether you've been here for years, whether today is your first time, either here in the building or watching online, thank you so much for being a part of this church. I am excited about all the different things that are happening in the life of our church. I wish you could have seen what I got to see this week, being here in the office each day with families coming to preschool this week for the first time. I got to tell you, Tuesday and Wednesday, there were a lot of tears of three-year-olds and four-year-olds and parents dropping their kids off for the first time. That's not the part that excites me. The part that excites me was the parents that were here, and I was able to chat with them, and they've never been here before, whether to the preschool or to the church. And I can't help but think, for the preschool parents, for the rec parents, for all the people that were here during resale, maybe this would be the first open door into a place where you could hear the good news of Jesus, and you would hear what God has done for you to forgive you and encounter him and enter into a relationship with him. And so I see so much potential around this place. Now I'd ask for you to join me in prayer for all of our families that have been here in many different things. But I'm excited. There's different ministry things happening. Obviously, our children's ministry opening, our pastoral care team led by Pastor Bob has been doing some really great things to connect and to care for people in the church during this time. And obviously, I'm a little bit biased, but one of my favorite things I'm excited about is life groups. I serve as assimilation, which is also groups, and the teaching pastor here at the church. And I love life groups because I know that every one of us can come and sit in a row and hear, but we really grow most in our faith when we sit in a circle, when we find connection and experience community. And groups is our number one way to try to get people connected. If you're here in the room, you'll see in the seat back in front of you, there should be a little book. I saw some of you already pulled it out and you were flipping through it. It looks like this. Feel free to do that. If the message is boring, at least find a group and sign up. That's fine too. I'm good with that. Get into a group. If you're online, you can just find those on the website or by texting in, and that's where you sign up. For those of you in the room, if you say, I'm not a tech person, but I know what group I want, come see me right down front after the service. I will help you sign up for a group. You only have till next Sunday, so please check those out and get in a group. Today, we're going to continue our series called Follow Me, which is really studying the Jesus himself, just reading Matthew. What did Jesus specifically say to do? And what was the way that Jesus lived his life? We know that who we follow will dramatically shape the person that we become. Who or what we give priority and authority to in our life will shape us into becoming whoever maybe that we want to be. And as Jesus followers, we say we follow Jesus. His invitation was, follow me. So as a church, really in the midst of this series, what did Jesus say? How do we do it? How do we live it? That's what we're studying. There is two life groups, I believe 13 and 14. They're going to do this a little bit longer, over 9 weeks. So if you like these, you need to get in those groups as well. And today we're dealing, this verse has kind of shaped this series for me. Those who say they live in God, those that say they believe in Jesus, those that say they're a Christian, should live their lives as Jesus did. So that's why we're in this study. What did Jesus say? And today what we're looking at, I'm not gonna lie to you, is a little bit harder and a little bit heavier. Of all the things that Jesus said, I chose this one because I think it's probably the most close to God's heart as a matter of importance. And it's also probably the hardest thing for us to actually live out. And when Jesus talks about it, he uses pretty strong language. In Matthew 6, he says this, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And I read this and I'm like, Jesus, this is heavy. Can we dial it back a little bit? Like, this is This is pretty straightforward and it's pretty big. Why would you be so forward and call so much from us? This seems really, really serious. And it's not just here that we read this in James. It's very similar. There'll be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. Or it reminds you of Matthew 5 and the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who show mercy, for they will be shown mercy. And the reason I think that forgiveness, Jesus talks about it in such difficult terms, is because it's the very heart of who God is. If God is love and he is forgiving as one of his main attributes, then his church should be a people of forgiveness. Or I'd say it this way, a community of the forgiven. We're gathered together because we've been forgiven. Must be a forgiving community. I think Jesus says you have to forgive because if the watching world is watching the church and the church is a picture of who God is, we have to be forgiving. It's not good PR for God if his people don't live the same way that he does. But forgiveness is hard. This morning I want a little exercise, play a little game here called Could I Forgive Them? And I want you to think about this from your own perspective. If there was a scale, 1 to 10, would you be able to forgive this person or these people? Down on this side, the left side, it's not very difficult, it's not very hard. If someone walked up to you and insulted your team, if you walked in here today and you had a Chicago Bears hat on, and I walked up to you and I'm like, hey, the Bears are terrible. They're trash. You're going to have a horrible season. Why are you even a Bears fan? You might say, like, I don't know you. Why are you being so mean to me? And I don't think that's true, actually. I think the Bears are going to have a great year. If it was them and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, I'd still cheer for the Chiefs, but I would love that. It would be super fun to see that game in this area. But if I insult your team, could you forgive me? Most of you, like, yeah, like, it's just, it's a game. And now, if you can't offer forgiveness for even sports, maybe, like, check your heart and go pray about it, but it's not that big of a thing in the grand scheme of life. You should be able to forgive me. Now, let's move up the scale a little bit. What about the person who forgets? Hey, I'm going to do this thing for you. I'm going to go out of my way. I'm going to do something intentional for you. Ah, I forgot. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. Could we forgive that person? And yeah, probably. Their motives were okay. They just forgot. What about the person that gossips about you? You walk into the room and they're talking bad about you or your family. Or they just lie straight to your face. Hey, did you do this? No, I didn't. Are we able to forgive them? A little bit harder when you start talking about me or my family. What about the person that goes behind your back and deliberately, on purpose, with bad motives, breaks trust? Maybe even breaks the relationship. Maybe they're unfaithful or they do something they know is going to hurt you and end the relationship. Can we forgive them? It's a lot harder. Or what about the person that causes unspeakable hurt to either you or your family? And I say unspeakable because it's hard for us to talk about. And if we talk about it, it starts to bring up all this shame and all this guilt. Maybe you've only ever told a few people. It's the worst thing that anyone could ever do to you or your family. Could you forgive even that person? If you're like most of me, most of us fall somewhere on this scale. I could forgive like up to here maybe, or here maybe, or here maybe. I don't know. Forgiveness for everybody? Jesus says, forgive. Without qualifications. I wish Jesus would have said, unless it's too hard. But he says, forgive. And I'm glad that Jesus doesn't just leave it at Matthew 6, but he tells a story, one of my favorite stories in scripture, that helps us give us a picture of what forgiveness is and why we should choose to forgive other people. It's from Matthew 18, if you want to read it this week, starting in verse 21. Then Peter, follower of Jesus, comes to Jesus and asks, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? So in this day and age, the Jewish rabbi, the teacher, would say, you're doing really good if you can forgive 3 times. Someone does something wrong against you, forgive them. If they do that same thing, forgive up to 3 times. It's hard for us to forgive once. So 3 times might seem hard, but Peter seems to be puffing his chest out a little bit of, hey, Jesus, how about up to 7 times? I'm better than those teachers. I'm going to forgive them 7 times. Would that be enough, Jesus? Jesus responds, I tell you, not 7 times, Peter, but 77 times, or 70 times 7 times, depending on your translation, which would be 490 times, Peter. If you're going to do 7, go out of your way, 490. Now, obviously, Jesus is using language of hyperbole. It's not about the number. It's about choosing forgiveness. Actually, I think Jesus would say, it's not about, if you're still tallying up how many times you've forgiven somebody, You're doing it so you can show how good of a person you are. Look how many times I've forgiven you. But Jesus says, if you're telling, then you're not doing the real work of actually forgiving from the heart. I want you to always forgive. This is uncalculated kind of forgiveness. So then Jesus launches into this story that talks about forgiveness. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven, which Jesus tells kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, which means that God is going to be depicted as king, is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. So 10,000 bags of, well, gold's not our currency today, so what is this? And actually, it would have been written in the Greek, 10,000 talents. And one talent, just one, is 20 years of wages. So 10,000 times 20 years for 200,000 years of wages. Again, it's not about the number. If you're gonna monetize it today, it would have been like, you owe trillions of dollars. This is more than you can even think about. Even Jeff Bezos, CEO of Amazon, who's made like $25 billion because of people in COVID like me, sit on my couch, ooh, Amazon Prime is much easier than anything else. He can't pay this back. It's too much of a debt, trillions of dollars. So, since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that had been sold to repay the debt. But at this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Please be patient with me, he begged. I will pay back everything. Watch this. The servant's master took pity on him. He canceled the debt, forgiveness, and let him go. And he is forgiven. But the story doesn't stop here. Actually, that servant goes out and he finds one of his fellow servants who owed him a couple hundred silver coins, or the Greek, a denarii. So 100 days worth of work. So I did too much research this week. If you took the average salary of Lamont here in Lamont and did 100 days wages, he owed him $20,000. So it's not nothing. Like, to forgive someone $20,000 is still a great act of forgiveness, but it's doable. Like, you can work for over time and you can pay off that debt. It's not near his trillions amount. So what does he do when he finds this servant that owes him this money? He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant, notice this, have you seen this picture before? Fell to his knees and begged him, please be patient with me, I will pay it back, even the same words. And does this servant respond in the same way that he was given forgiveness? But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged, and they went and told their master everything that had happened. So then the master, or the king, called in the servant who had been forgiven. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? Jesus ends his story in this way. In his anger, the master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured till he could pay back what he owed. And Jesus says strong words again. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Genuine forgiveness. Jesus, help us to forgive in this way. And I love this story, and really I think when Jesus was telling it, the moral of this story is to say, don't be like that guy. He's saying, how many of us in life, if we're gonna say this today, can act in the same way without realizing it? In that ancient time when you're talking about debt of money, the Jewish people would have also heard it in terms of actual sins and forgiveness. So how many times do we, if I was gonna act it, I'll stand here, we turn to the king and we say, God, I realize I owe you something that there's no way I could repay. I know I've messed up in my past. I know I have hurt people because I haven't lived in right relationship with you and other people. The things I'm not proud of, things that I'm ashamed of, things I'm guilty of, I can't fix them. It's not something I could repay. God, would you forgive me? And scripture says that Jesus stands with arms open wide. He says, I know what you've done. I know your past. I know who you are. And I still choose to forgive you. Come on in. Let me take what has been broken and dying within you, and through Jesus's death and resurrection, raise you to new life. I'm not done with you yet. I want to do something amazing in your life. Come, receive forgiveness, and then get started living in the way that you should live for God in relationship with him and other people. And we love this picture. We celebrate it every week at church. God, would you forgive me? Make me new. Change me from the inside out. And he says, yes. How many of us leave Sunday? We go into the world. with our family or our people that we work with, people we run into, people that are taking too long in the drive-thru line. And when they make one mistake, just one, we grab their throat and we begin to choke them. How could you do this? Are you kidding me? It's not that difficult. Just make the right decision. Say the right words. Come on. We receive forgiveness, yet we don't give it. God is saying, don't be like this. Instead, as you receive forgiveness in the same way that you've received forgiveness, give forgiveness to others. This is the way that we should live. And I truly believe that forgiveness is about perspective. When I ask this question, could I forgive them? For many of us, we begin to think, could I really choose to forgive that person? I want to zoom out in a different perspective and say, could God forgive that person? I think about Jesus, when he was living, at the end of his life, he gets wrongly accused. He gets arrested, even though he's innocent. He gets tied to a post. He's beaten. He's spit on. He's punched. He's whipped. He gets taken to a cross where he gets nails driven into his feet and his hands. He's innocent for what they're accusing him of. And they look at him and they yell insults at him and they kill him. And just before Jesus died, he could have said, Father, send down the angels. Come rescue me. Now's the time. But he says, Father, forgive them. If we're going to follow the way of Jesus, can we truly forgive like he does? So could God forgive the people that have wronged me? I think it's helpful to remember 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Where it says, so we have stopped evaluating or calculating people from a human perspective. Think of them through God's eyes. God, how do you see this person, even though they've done something terrible? God has offered his forgiveness to even them. He's offered forgiveness to people in all from all places and all time. Romans 6 says, the death he died to sin once for all, and now he lives for God. Or in 1 Peter 3, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He's offered forgiveness to those that have wronged us. And I think we know, like, just speaking honestly, most of us feel, yes, I should forgive others, and I know it, but I still struggle with it. This week, I just want to ask the question, why do we struggle to forgive people? And most of the people I talk to, it really comes down to two things. The first one being, they say something like, I just can't pretend like it didn't happen. I can't walk back into that room. I can't walk back into that relationship and just be like, oh, it didn't happen. It's okay. It's fine. I'll just let you go. I'll let you off of the hook. And let me say this. Forgiveness and reconciliation are not the same thing. We all strive for reconciliation, but for there to be true reconciliation, there has to be truth spoken. There has to be someone admitting or confessing there was a wrong. One person offers forgiveness, the other one receives it, and then there is reconciliation. But forgiveness is about your choice of what you can do, even if the other person doesn't acknowledge what they did was wrong. Forgiveness is saying, I choose to forgive you, even if I never say it to your face, even if we don't enter back into the same kind of relationship. And sometimes, even from a human perspective, it's probably better to forgive, but distance yourself from that person so you don't repeat cycles of abuse. Forgive. And the second thing, why do we struggle, is simply we say something like, it's not fair. Where's the justice? This isn't right. And certainly, it's not right. People should not treat you that way. They shouldn't have done what they did. But when we choose to forgive, what we're really saying is, God, I trust your justice. And justice is language of a judge. God, I trust you to be the good judge, to give people what they deserve, for the good, to give them good. For those that have harmed, then they get what they deserve as well. God, I'm trusting you to deal with this person instead of me trying to deal with it for myself. Can we trust God's justice? If you struggle with that, I love this verse. It has helped me so much from Romans 12, starting in 19. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger or the justice of God. For the scriptures say, quoting Isaiah, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. And in doing so, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. And this last line, verse 21, don't let evil conquer you. What they have done to you, don't let that have dominion over you. But conquer evil by doing what is good. Forgiveness is a choice that we have to make, and healing may only come over time. So today, really, I want to land in practicalities. If you want to follow Jesus, if you want to practice forgiveness, specifically with those in your family, your workplace, those that you encounter all the times, or at all times, I want to give you a few key things for practical advice. Number one, keep no record books. Have you ever encountered the person, or maybe you are this person, that when someone does something wrong, they love to bring it up to maybe get something they want? Hey, do you remember when that one time you said this to me? And you're like, oh, shoot, I did say that. Yeah, so because of that, could you do this for me now? Hey, do you remember when, some of you are looking at each other right now, don't do that, you stop that. Remember when you did that? Here's what I would say. When you say remember when, you're using someone's past mistakes to hold them prisoner to their own shame, to get what you want now. That is not a great way to live. Instead, we need to choose the way of love and forgiveness. At weddings, you'll hear this quoted often, 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. Some of you may have this memorized. It does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered. But then hear this, it keeps no record of wrongs. For those that you're in close relationship with, keep no record books. Don't bring up the past to get what you want now. Instead, choose to forgive. People don't change because they have served their time or they're constantly reminded of their past. People change when they experience undeserved, unrecorded, uncalculated grace and forgiveness. Secondly, I'd say this, make room for imperfection. We live in such a perfectionist society. If you say the wrong thing one time in the wrong place, people will label you, dismiss you, and throw you out. We feel this suffocating pressure to present a persona of perfection to other people. I have to be perfect, or what will people think of me? And what the hard part is we often do this to other people as well. If the boss says he's gonna do something and he doesn't, we jump down their throat. If someone says the wrong word when they're trying to lovingly correct us, we instead turn it around and get angry with them. If our kids, who are just children and crazy, act out in public or say the wrong thing in front of the wrong person, we come down so hard on them. I think unconsciously we're thinking, we have to make them perfect now because if they grow up in a perfectionist society like me, they need to learn to live so that others won't judge them. Instead, we read Colossians 3. Make allowance for each other's faults. Make room for others to mess up. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you too must forgive others. The space for making allowance and making room is really about making space for people to mess up. To say, listen, I know you messed up. It's not okay, but I forgive you, and I love you, and now we're going to move forward. Let's not expect people to be perfect, just as we don't want others to expect us to be perfect. And I'd say this, I think maybe part of the reason that so many people have rebelled against authority, maybe it's parents, maybe it's church, whatever it is because they did not feel like they were given the space to experience grace, to say, it's not, you know, you're not perfect, and that's okay. Now let's move on from where we are today and move forward into changing who God wants you to be. So they left that authority because they did not want to experience judgment. Let's be a church that makes room and space for people that aren't imperfect so they can experience God's grace. Instead, instead of judgment, let's offer forgiveness. This week when I was thinking about this perspective of prayer, God, help me to see people as you see them. Help me not to see people only for what they've done to me or for their political thoughts or for anything else. Help me to see them as you see them. I wrote this and I pray that something from within this would speak to you today. Our culture demands perfection. Say the wrong thing and face immediate rejection. If you align yourself with the wrong section, you'll be treated as if you have the infection. If you don't believe me, try it out. Try to talk about the election. Your words will be the subject of dissection. The comments and the hate that will ensue really belong in the garbage collection. Maybe what's needed most at this intersection is a visit to the house of correction, to find a better sense of direction, and to find perspective in the King and resurrection. Maybe then we could make room for the faults of others. Maybe then we could see them as God sees them, our sisters and our brothers. Because it's here that we remember that we too are imperfect. We neglect that we too have been incorrect. Yet God, who is perfect, has given us grace. So let's not forget that his image is within the entire human race. no matter how much the other has flawed, may we not forget that they are also loved by God. Finally, today I'd say this: control what you can control. Obviously, but sometimes it needs to be said, you can't control the person that has wronged you. And if you wait around for them to admit that they were wrong, you may never hear those words. So what can you control today? You can control how you respond. Is it possible for you to choose forgiveness? And the irony of control is, by not forgiving it because it feels like we're letting them off the hook, we're actually still giving them power over us. When you hear their name, when you think of that situation, it still causes this emotional anger, bitterness and resentment to rise within you. But by choosing to forgive, you're not letting them off the hook. You're choosing to set yourself free. Say, God, could you take this bitterness? Could you take this resentment? I don't want to be angry anymore. Instead, let your spirit come within me and do your healing work over time. Choosing forgiveness doesn't let them off the hook. It frees you. In closing today, I want to give you a picture to encourage you. That no matter what has happened to you in your life, no matter what others have done to you, you too can choose forgiveness. It was only 5 years ago on June 17th in Charleston, South Carolina, a Bible study was happening at this church, the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church. In that Bible study walked in a 21-year-old white supremacist named Dylan Roof. He attended the Bible study, sat through it, but at the end, as others bowed their head in closing prayer, Dylan stood and pulled out a gun. He killed 9 people and others were injured. His motives were of hatred of African Americans that was clearly outlined in his manifesto before and his journals after the event. He was hoping that this would start a race war. His hate fueled the death of 9 people, including Ethel Lance. And at the bond hearing, just days after this event, Ethel's daughter, Nadine Coyer, was asked to speak. It was only a couple days after. If I was her, I couldn't help to think of anything of this is senseless hatred. I think I would have a few words for the man that killed my mother. But instead, she said these words: I forgive you. You took something very precious away from me. I'll never be able to talk to her again. I'll never be able to hold her hand again. But I forgive you and have mercy on your soul. And then she said this, hear this: if God forgives you, then I forgive you. She has perspective. After this, they interviewed her. How could you say these words? She said, before I spoke, I said this prayer: Lord, I need you. I need you now. She said, then the words flowed out of me. I forgave him. She said this: people need to understand what forgiveness means. It's not for the person that's done something wrong to you. It's really more for yourself, so that you can live and breathe another day. Because when you keep all that anger inside of you, you're defeating the purpose. Friends, when we forgive, we have to trust God to be just and forgive from the heart. Forgiveness is what can truly change lives, not hatred. So today, when I ask this question, can I forgive them? I don't know your story. I don't know who has done things to you, things that you've not shared with others, spoke about, maybe things where you need to ask God for forgiveness as well. Honestly, when we ask this question, could I forgive them? Most of us still say no. But I would remind you, God's Spirit helps us in our weakness. And God says, my power is made perfect in your weakness. When we fall short to live the way that God wants us to, he says, my Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is living within you to help you live as you should. And God's Spirit can help you get to a place where you say, I choose to forgive. If you're struggling with forgiveness, say, God, I know you forgive them. Help me to forgive as you forgive. Somehow I'm gonna try to choose to forgive today, next week, the months and years to come, because forgiveness has to happen more than once. Today maybe is the day you deal with forgiveness. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Jesus, we, your people, desire to follow you in forgiveness. God, we confess this is hard. When people wrong us, it goes against our nature. We want to get back, to get justice, and to do it ourselves and to do it now. But God, help us to see your perspective that forgiveness is a better way. Empower us by your Spirit to make the choice that you did to forgive other people. God, help us in this. And God, my prayer for the people that are listening today that as the band sings this song about forgiveness in just a moment, that we would talk to you, that we would pray. Maybe there's something we know we have done wrong and we need to come to you and say, God, forgive me. I'm approaching the King on my knees bowed and my hands open. God, I need forgiveness today. Would you change me? Would you make me new? I want to enter this relationship with you. God, for others of us, we know we need to go say I'm sorry to somebody. Help us, give us the courage to do so. Or maybe in these next few moments as we talk to you, maybe we would deal with something that we've been carrying. God, would you help me choose to forgive? No matter what it is, I would encourage you as the band sings and plays, spend a few moments speaking with God. And my prayer is that he would help you to choose forgiveness by the power of his Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So God, today, would you help us to choose forgiveness? Would you make us your forgiven family who shows that same forgiveness to the world. God, help us to live this out in our everyday relationships. And when the world sees us, may they see a picture of forgiveness. We love you, Jesus, and we pray this in your name. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us on C1's podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, go to c1naz.org and click on Next Steps. There on our website, you can also find our service times and more information about our church. We'd also invite you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll always have the newest episodes. And feel free to share today's podcast with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us, and have a good day.